Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you again here for the Steve Alsham Show on this Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. Can you believe it? We only have another week left in March, and then we're into April, and then Easter is here, and hopefully then golf season, unless you're down in the Twin Cities where they're opening golf courses all over the place this weekend. Going to be in the mid-60s for a few days starting this weekend. Doesn't look like we're going to be quite like that here in North Dakota, but I bet some spots out west or North Dakota will see some 60s a few different times here over the next week or so. Here in the Red River Valley, it tends to stay a little colder, a little longer. It's just what we get this time of year. 701-271-1100 is our phone number. That is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They can get you in quickly, and they've got an occupational therapist. They've got a nurse practitioner, physical therapy as well. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wappanoag. 15 minutes or less to buy a car, truck, or SUV. We're going to talk money today a couple of different times on the program. Brian Kronk is going to be with us here. We're going to talk about what's going on in the stock market right now. It is a schizo stock market right now. Yesterday, we were up big, and it stayed pretty strong all day. And then today, the traders just said, I don't think so, and selling off quite a bit. We're not giving back all the gains of yesterday, but we're giving back some of them. We're going to talk to Brian about what do we make of this, and especially if you're thinking about retiring anytime soon. Should you be moving more of your money out of the stock market, and how much and when? So we'll ask Brian about that coming up today. We will also talk about how to get your information from big media when it comes to financial matters. I have a couple of theories that I have sort of refined in my head over time. One of them is if you hear a pessimist in the United States financial sector, the economy, whatever, do the opposite of what they are doing. And if you hear somebody talking about the best way to go from what the experts are saying, do the opposite. So I'm not going to say never listen to an expert and never be careful with your money. But it seems as though more and more I find myself saying, don't play it safe and don't listen to the experts. Now, my friend Brian Kronk would be the exception to that because he seems to see things the way I think most of us do. But boy, when I look at CNBC and see the headlines there, I think, my gosh, sell everything and get out. While meanwhile, the market goes higher and you lose out on it. And they are kind of everything combined, big media and negative all the time. And I think it's somewhat of a Trump derangement syndrome sort of a story as well. But we'll dive into that with a guest that Stuart Varney had on Fox Business earlier today. And he's talking about these same kind of things. So we'll do that. Story of the day today is about voting shenanigans going on in Minnesota, but not where you would think. This is a strange story, and I'm suspicious of it for a number of different reasons. We'll talk about that. And we'll get some good old-fashioned honest truth today from a well-known basketball coach who is somebody who talks about how America used to be a tough country, and now we've gotten soft, stuff that you and I have probably said before. So we'll do that here today. And also some mindless fun today in Best Thing I Heard All Day. The legend of Jesse Waters continues to grow. He got himself out of what could have been a nasty little pickle yesterday, and I came away laughing and pumping my fist for Jesse Waters. So lots to cover today, and before we finish up, Anna Paulina Luna, who is rapidly becoming one of my favorite congressmen or women, says, we've got evidence on Tim Walz and Keith Ellison, and we're not afraid to use it. So we'll have a little bit of that before we get done today here as well. All right, let's get to it. The Morning Wire. This is our kind of short attention span theater to try to run through as many things as we possibly can to get you started here on this Tuesday edition of the program. Semi-automatic storylines, you might say. I will begin with the almanac today. We will gain 3 minutes and 22 seconds of daylight here in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo, 7:45 will be our sunset today. And this is the last day where we gain the max amount of daylight. Tomorrow we'll still gain pretty good amount, but 3 minutes and 21 seconds rather than 3:22. In the markets today, as I told you, it's all red right now. Dow is down 148, S&P 500 down 25, NASDAQ down 152 after those big gains yesterday. I would say right now we're giving back maybe a fourth of what we gained yesterday in the market. WTI crude oil bouncing back today. So isn't it been interesting? Yesterday, oil down, stocks up, today, vice versa. Oil up $4 a barrel, WTI price at $91.98. Gold today, basically unchanged, so is silver. Gold at $4,389, silver at $68.62. Bitcoin today down $1,000 at $69,800. Diesel fuel today up 6 cents from where it was yesterday, $5.34 a gallon. The regular unleaded price nationwide average, $3.97. So we're climbing up toward $4. Haven't quite got there yet, but North Dakota, $3.43. South Dakota, $3.38. Minnesota, $3.44. Gas prices have, I think, caught up to what's been going on overseas, and oil prices as well, and now up over a dollar a gallon over the last month or so. All right, news cycle today. What's going on in the headlines? We'll start with the war in Iran. A senior Iranian foreign ministry official tells CBS News the regime has gotten talking points from the United States through mediators, and they are being reviewed. These points are considered to be negotiating to end the war. Pakistan is trying to position itself as a potential mediator, and there are unconfirmed reports that there could be a meeting as soon as this weekend over there. Meanwhile, Iran launched waves of missiles at Israel overnight and continued targeting America's Gulf allies. We've been told that they're getting short on ammunition, but they seem to have enough to keep going here. International shipping through Hormuz remains gridlocked, leaving energy markets in a bit of flux here and prompting the International Energy Agency to warn of a major, major threat, in their words, to the wider global economy. Lebanese state media says Israel carried out fresh strikes overnight, and the Israeli military warned more Lebanese civilians to evacuate their homes in the south after Benjamin Netanyahu warned that there was more to come in the war. Closer to home, defense attorneys for the man charged in connection with the death of Isadora Wengel are asking a judge to postpone his upcoming preliminary hearing. Court documents filed yesterday show attorneys for Josh Haidt filed a motion to continue the preliminary hearing, currently scheduled for March 31st. The defense is asking the hearing be pushed back two terms. A term is typically 5 weeks, so they're looking at, you know, 2, maybe even 3 months. Valley News Live reports that the reason is the attorneys for Haidt are reviewing a large volume of discovery materials. They also are awaiting mental health evaluations at the North Dakota State Hospital for Haidt. The first candidate for NDSU president to have an on-campus visit met with school officials yesterday. Kansas State University Executive Vice President Dr. Marshall Stewart told reporters afterward that every student should have opportunities to learn internationally and get an internship, and that as a land-grant university, the school's first loyalty needs to be the people of North Dakota. The new NDSU president is expected to be working at the university by June. The other two candidates will be on campus this week. Here's a story you don't hear often. Construction bids for the expansion of West Fargo Horace High School came in nearly $4 million less than school district estimates. The forum reports that the project was estimated to cost about $34.7 million, but the lowest bids are now coming in at about $30.9. Voters approved a $100 million referendum last year to pay for the expansion of the high school and some other things in the district as well. The Horace High School expansion includes adding another classroom wing, finishing a wing that was already built, expanding the main gym, adding an auxiliary gym, a weight room, choir room, multipurpose room, and remodeling the athletics office and counseling suite. The forum reports today the data center developer Applied Digital is investing $75 million in power system upgrades in eastern North Dakota, even as it intends to expand to the western part of the state. The company says it's going to cover the cost of an electrical substation and high voltage power line that it needs for the data center it's building near I-29 near Harwood. Mincota Power Cooperative will own and operate the new facilities. A Minn Kota spokesperson said Applied Digital's covering the upgrades benefits the grid and other customers in the region. A Public Service Commission public hearing on the power project is set for April 2nd. I would like to tell you, my friend, that the story of the day is ICE agents in airports across the country. And indeed, I think that's notable that they are. CNN has confirmed 13 different airports where ICE agents are currently. And no one is saying right now that Minneapolis-St. Paul has any ICE agents in there. So if you're wondering, nothing confirmed that they are there. But they are in 13 other airports nationwide. I looked around this morning to try to find some sort of data points on or statistics on how it's happening, you know, what's going on there, is this making a difference? And I don't have much to share with you other than something I'll tell you about in a little bit. But right now, the delays are under 25 minutes. Like the wait times to get through TSA is 25 minutes or less in every airport except two in the country. And I'll have more on that coming up here in just a little bit. I'm looking for information on that. I think we'll get more data as time goes on. But a little early after just one day in a situation where ICE is not typically at. So I have seen some social media videos, you may have as well, showing, you know, what you'd expect. There's some people who, you know, usually it's a 20-something-year-old female, ICE out, ICE out, ICE out, and just doing what we typically see there. I hate to stereotype young women, but it seems like that's where most of the resistance comes from, the young white females. And then I saw some other videos where people were saying, thank you, appreciate that you're here, can use the help. And some people even were saying, look, I was nervous about this whole thing, but if they can help us get through the airport, no problem. So people in the end, they can have their principles and wars they want to fight. But in the end, most people are like, I just want to get where I want to go. So I will tell you this, that in my mind, the story of the day is this. And I have to tell you, this is a story I'm very suspicious about. I'm reading from the Star Tribune, which gives you some idea why. Story goes like this. An election judge in Minnesota's Hubbard County pleaded guilty to felony charges yesterday for allowing 11 unregistered people to vote in November of 2024, the last presidential election. 65-year-old Tim Scouten of Nevis, Minnesota, was charged with two counts of accepting ballots from unregistered voters and neglecting his duty in his post at the township precinct that he was at in Hubbard County. The Secretary of State's office said in a statement to the Star Tribune that Scouten made a decision to disregard state law, but his actions were caught immediately. Officials in the office say they're unaware of any other instance of an election judge knowingly allowing people to vote without registering. And Simon says, Steve Simon, election crimes are extremely rare. Election-related crimes by election workers are nearly unprecedented. Scouten fought back tears in the virtual court hearing Monday, his voice cracking as he admitted that he allowed people to vote without proper registration. And he knew that it was wrong for him to do that. He's prohibited now in the county from serving in that role again. All right. So that's the story. Here's what is very interesting to me about this. I could be completely wrong, but with all of the fraud going on in the Twin Cities metro area, the chances of this being the only area where someone was committing some voter fraud, highly, highly unlikely. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to find this guy in a red county who probably was letting, I don't know who, vote without being registered. And they're going to make an example out of this guy. You know, it's those Republican counties that really we really got to worry about here. I would love to know what's going on in some of those areas, including where they boarded up windows on election night in 2020. When Joe Biden somehow won the election as president. You know, what's happening there? Is anybody looking into that? And then Simon, of course, is going to say, it's highly unlikely anything like that. And we just had this one example where we're talking about 11 people. And the felony offenses are punishable by up to 5 years in jail and a $10,000 fine. So I would not be surprised to see this guy do some jail time and have to pay the fine, because they are going to, again, kind of play this game of don't look over here, look over here, look at what we're doing this, to this guy, when who knows what's going on. Again, I'm going to tell you, I don't have any evidence of any of that. I just know what we do know from the past witness testimony about what's happened in some deep blue cities, deep blue states. And I say to myself, I am very skeptical that this was the only fraud going on. And I don't even know if he was letting in his buddies who are Trump voters, or if there's a pocket of people and he was just lazy. There, we don't get any information about that, that, you know, who was he trying to let vote, and, you know, why? Who are these people? We don't know. We know that in all parts of Minnesota, there is a population of some illegal people here in the country. Maybe he just was lazy. We don't know any of that. So we don't know if it was people voting for Kamala Harris. We don't know if it was Donald Trump. We don't know if it was Tim Walz. We don't know who they were, these 11 people were voting for. But I always find it interesting when there's one opportunity here and people are saying on the left, oh, look, see, the cheaters are really on. Okay, well, if that's the case, then let's do the whole voter ID, because we got to get rid of these Trump voters up in Hubbard County. We can't have this going on. The old good old boys network. So let's get our voter ID. Let's get our citizenship. Let's turn over the voter rolls to the federal government. Let's do this right. I think that's our only chance of having free and fair elections going forward. But, you know, they don't want that. And why do you suppose that is? All right, 32 past the hour. Always great to chat with my friend Brian Cronk from Collins and Cronk Investment Advisors. And Brian manages the money for my family. I'm very thankful that he does. There's been a little bit of a correction here lately, but it's not looking all that bad as I check my account every once in a while. And I asked Brian if he'd come on today because things are a little crazy in the investment world. And he was kind enough to do that. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, Steve. I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. You have taught me well not to check these things too often and to realize that everything that happens is kind of just short term, and you're going to get some bumps and some peaks and some valleys. But if you stay invested in the right things over time, you'll come out on top. So I'm doing pretty good. What are your observations, good sir, in taking a look at what's happened in the stock market and with people's investments here over the last month or so since this conflict over in Iran began?
Yeah, it is amazing to me. This is exactly what we talked about at the very, very beginning of the year. You know, I remember being on your show and we said, hey, this year is going to be a lot more volatile. And I said, we're going to see more corrections. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if you see something bigger. And there again, just a couple of weeks ago, I had said right before the war started, this market is starting to look very toppy, starting to turn over, starting to go down. And then, of course, we get the attacks in Iran and things of that nature. And that was enough to really get the sell-off started. I still think this sell-off is really, you know, holding up well. If you look at what's going on in the world today, this war in Ukraine, you look at what's happening in Iran, and then you start looking at just what's happening globally from an economic standpoint, the fact that this market hasn't just had the bottom drop out of it yet is truly amazing to me. And to me, that just speaks to the strength of our economy right now and just how strong the earnings are at some of these companies that we own.
We bounced back a little bit yesterday, Brian, and I see that in early trading we're down a bit today. So we're kind of an up down here the first couple of days of this week. And it kind of feels like last week was kind of the worst it has been, because there's been some uncertainty. How long is this thing going to drag out? Do you think that we've seen a bottom here?
Not at all. You know, when I look at what's happening here, we were due for a bounce because all of the indicators showed that we were oversold, which sounds like, hey, what's going on here? But, you know, things can't just go one direction for too long, even if we're in a correction. In a correction, you still get little bounces and things like that. But what you'll notice is every time we get a little bounce, and the other day was no exception to that, the sellers come back in. You know, if you just look, we've closed something like 9 out of the last 10 days in the lower range of the trading for that day. That's not a real positive indicator by any means. Or if you look at the broader market indexes, the fact like on the NASDAQ, there's only 25% of stocks trading above their 50-day moving average. That's a big negative. On the New York Composite, it's only 46%. So again, several things are saying that we are in a downtrend. And I don't think this downtrend is just war-related, Steve. So there's a lot of people out there that are talking about, well, as soon as we get something that says this war is over, this market's going to go shooting up. It started going down well before this war was started. In fact, if you go back and you look, the market hasn't made a new high since October of last year. So that's a long time with no new highs. The war was just the impetus to have it start turning down and continue. But even interest rates drive things. Interest rates have been rising. That's generally not good for the stock market. They were rising well in advance of this war. So I think we have further down to go from here. Not saying we can't see some bounces in the meantime.
When President Trump took office, Brian, in early last year, early 2025, the S&P 500, which is kind of the old standby index to look at, was at about 5,000 or so, and it really took off. And in 2025, had a big run up to late 2025, like you said. So we went from 5,000 on the S&P 500 to almost 7,000 in the span of a little over a year. And now we're down, you know, somewhere in that 6,500 level. If there is downside to go, is that downside back to 5,000 when Trump took office, or is it somewhere between there and where we are now, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't know really where to peg something like that. We're sitting right on a crucial level of support. And so that 6,500 level was something that we've stopped at in the past. So hopefully we can hold there. Keep in mind, a correction doesn't necessarily need to mean further downside. It could also just mean sideways movement for a while. You know, the fact that we haven't gone anywhere since October sort of speaks to that. That's a long time without any new gains. But at least for a while there, for probably 3 or 4 months, we were still seeing some opportunities where you could, you know, make money in an individual stock, even if the index wasn't going anywhere. That's what's sort of dried up now, is you're not seeing a lot of breakouts or setups. You know, the time is for defense right now. If you look at what we're doing in our dynamic portfolios, our largest holding in all of our dynamic portfolios is cash right now. Cash is king. Cash is a legitimate holding because when you have these big down days, guess what? The cash isn't going down. It's also money that we've taken profits on or that we've cut our risk level on that's sitting on the sidelines, so that when you do start seeing those indicators that the market has bottomed, in other words, when we do start wanting to go in there and start buying things, we've got money to start doing that with. And that's what our clients expect of us.
Brian, when we went into 2026, my gut feeling, not knowing nearly as much as people like yourself would do this every day for a living, but my gut feeling was that we had a new Fed chair that was going to be going in here sometime this spring. We've got the benefit of the tax changes with the reduced taxes on tips and overtime, things like that. Yeah. We were looking for lower interest rates. So I really thought that while 2025 was a great year, I thought, gosh, 2026 could be even better. And then just about the time that we started to potentially feel the impact of some of those good things that happened, then, of course, came the war. And so it sort of took all the starch out of the shirt, if you will. Is there a path here going forward where if this gets resolved, oil prices go back down, which everybody says they will, if we get this thing figured out and could eventually actually go lower, do you think we could still see a major run-up maybe in the second half of 2026?
Yeah, I'm still calling for us to have a good, positive year. I think that once we work our way through this correction, we're going to get another correction. We are further into a bull market, and many investors aren't familiar with how markets work. They just think that they just go straight up. This is a much more normal trading environment. This has barely scratched the level of a correction. I was calling for 3 to 4 corrections this year alone. So when you start thinking about that, it sounds really negative. I'm still calling for a positive finish to the year. So So just like we said at the very beginning of this conversation, Steve, I am amazed at how resilient this market has been in the face of all of this negative news. And the reason for that is there's really good fundamentals in the economy driven by all of those things you just named. That tax stuff that you mentioned, people are just starting to realize that now. They're seeing it in their paychecks. They're going to see it in their tax returns. Businesses are going to use that to leverage their investments. That's going to continue to grow. So all of these good things that you're talking about, those are going to come. Those are still going on. We've got a strong economy. Companies are delivering earnings, but the market had gotten ahead of itself. And so that's what this correction is. It's bringing it back in line. And you can just see that if you go back to the beginning of the year, everybody was not investing. They were speculating. They were day trading. They were buying craziness, all kinds of things like that. Now we're going back to the basics and saying, hey, those people that were speculating, they're getting their fingers burned a little bit right now. Those people who had well-diversified portfolios that were true investors, they're reaping the benefits of that because those panic sellers, who are they selling to? They're selling to investors like me and you.
Yep, that's right. Brian, I want to ask you, for someone who is approaching retirement age and they maybe have another 3-5 years left in the working world before they're going to retire, what advice would you give them? I know every situation is different, but when people are getting to that point with it as kind of up and down as things have been, as volatile as they have been, I've got to think that there's a point at which you have to be thinking about kind of playing a little safer, even if you're kind of naturally a growth-minded person.
Right. You know, that's a really good point. It's one of the reasons we focus so much on planning. You know, when you first come to Collins and Cronk, it's a lot about the markets and investing and explaining how our strategies work, even identifying which strategies are right for the kind of growth that you're looking for. But once we get that in place, then guess what? The portfolio does what it's supposed to do, and we really focus on the plan because the plan is going to tell you when you can retire. We're planning for how long, how much money do you need for a lengthy retirement, all of that kind of stuff. And as we're getting closer and closer to that retirement date, those are the conversations that we're having at your planning and strategy meeting. We're sitting down and we're going over that with you and saying, okay, how comfortable are you right now? How are you feeling about all of this? And we're going to walk you through that. And slowly, as needed, we're going to be getting more and more conservative. That's one of those things that I always caution people about. Retirement is not an event. Retirement is a process of change in your life. And so we often talk to people about not retiring or not some end date for work, but more moving to a work optional lifestyle. And then we want to look at, okay, how long does that money need to last? It's not like you retire one day and you're going to cash out and so everything needs to be in the money market. No, that money on average needs to last another 25 or 30 years. You're not going to last 30 years if you get too conservative too early.
Yeah, very good stuff. Bit of a surprise over the weekend, and I didn't hear about it until late last night. But Republican State Representative Mike Weiner has won the GOP endorsement for Minnesota Senate District 5 over the incumbent Senator Paul Utke. Weiner has served in the House since 2023. Utke has been in the Senate since 2017. And I think from what I can tell, this is more of the growing trend of the base of the Republican Party saying that we are getting serious about electing people who go hard right and very conservative, and that those kind of Republicans in the more in the middle or perceived to be more in the middle, that it's time for them to go. We're sensing that in North Dakota, and I think this might be what we're seeing in Minnesota. Now, I'm not saying that Paul Utke is a rhino or anything like that, but listen to the kind of the backstory here. So earlier this year, Weiner was part of that group of seven state lawmakers who joined and created this Freedom Caucus in the Minnesota legislature. Utke is not a member of that group. So there you've got kind of one kind of group of watchdogs. Like, you know, we're mad as heck, not going to take it anymore, and we're going to, you know, start fighting a little dirty if we have to get some things done. Well, you get my point. The group was established back in February. And earlier this year, Weiner was part of a group of Republican state lawmakers, I'm getting this from Alpha News, by the way, who filed articles of impeachment against Governor Tim Walz. So I do not see from the reporting here that Utke was part of that group that filed the articles of impeachment. He may very well support it, but he did not apparently join in this initial group to do that. So I'm just kind of looking here. You know, this is, I think, up by Crookston, kind of in that area where very red. And it feels to me like this is just another one of those, you know, people in the one group in the party who is just really digging in their heels and saying, we need to change things. And we like people that are willing to fight, get their hands dirty, and go after people, even when it's not easy or convenient. So I think that's what we're starting to hear there. And as I mentioned, we've heard that quite a bit in North Dakota as well. The state convention coming up this weekend, I will remind you that we have tried to get Matt Simon on this program multiple times, and he said, Steve, I don't want to come on the radio show. I'll talk to you off the record, and I've just told him, I'm sorry, Matt, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just, my days are super busy, and if you can come on the show, great. If not, then I guess I'll just get filled in as time goes on. So state party convention, GOP convention this weekend. This will be really interesting because most of the incumbents, at least at the statewide level, are not going to be there. So, we have a great country. I'm not telling you don't know already. Even though we've had our issues, our ups and downs, and sometimes it takes a voice that you just didn't expect to remind you of how great our country is. This is Tom Izzo, basketball coach from Michigan State University. They're still alive. They're in the Sweet 16. And Tom is an old school guy. He is going to tell you what you need to hear, whether you like it or not. Kind of one of those tough old codger guys from maybe a day gone by. But his methods are still working. And he was asked about how players earn playing time for him in his system.
You play real good, you start. You don't play as good, you work your way back in. It's the American way, except America has gotten soft. But that is the American way. That's the way it works. And so I apologize to nobody for that.
You play real good, you start. You don't play as good, you got to work your way back in. It's the American way, except America has gotten soft. But that's the American way, and I apologize to nobody for that. Boy, we need more of that, don't we? Thank you, Tom Izzo, for reminding us of some truth there. A little hazy sunshine, but not as much wind as we've had the last few days. So we will take that. Here in the Red River Valley, man, if you can get a day where it's not windy, you'll take it. It can be cloudy, it can be cold, but if you just get rid of that wind. But today is this hour of the program today brought to you in part by OnTrack Garage Door. If you need a new garage door or fast, reliable repairs, OnTrack Garage Door has got you covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. That's right. On the farm, they do a good job there, too. OnTrack Garage Door, proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values. Quality work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Let them get you on the right track with OnTrack. Call them at 701-793-4246. Emailer Bill sent a note yesterday into the email line just after the show ended. You can do that anytime at studio@flagfamily.com. If you send it at the end of our show, Scotty might catch a talk about on his show. But yesterday we were talking about this idea that life is particularly difficult for young people these days with the rising cost of everything, getting out of high school or college. Your dollar doesn't stretch as far as it used to. Maybe when we were graduating high school and college back in the day, you know, you could save up, and after a couple of years, not too hard to think you might be able to build a house if you had a good job and able to save up a little money. It is harder now with the cost of taxes and insurance and everything. So we were talking about the growing sentiment among many on the conservative side that we're kind of about ready to go into a period of multifamily housing. Family compound is a strong word, but you get what I'm talking about, where families can come together and kind of watch out for each other, circle the wagons, whatever. Emailer Bill sent a note yesterday saying, it's funny that me and my wife have been talking about exactly that. it is important for kids to figure out the world on their own, and they need to make their own decisions and make their own mistakes. But when life seems like it's stacked up almost unfairly against our kids, why would we not come around them and try to help make things happen for them? Yeah, you know, Bill, that I hear you. My heart is that same way. I think we all want to take care of our kids, and I've always thought that probably the best way to do it is for kids to go out and do it on their own. It talks about in the good book about, you know, the man and woman will come together and cleave together and leave mom and dad and go out and kind of do their own thing in the world, and you and me, us against the world. And my wife and I had that, certainly. Not that we didn't have great support from our parents, but we had to go out there and figure out, like, oh, you mean car insurance really costs this much, and I need to have insurance for this and that and health care and all of this stuff, the things you just don't realize until you have to go out and start doing them on your own. But I would invite more conversation on that today. If you are like Bill and you've been kind of thinking the same kind of a thing, let me know. 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. You can also email studio@flagfamily.com. We are guest-free here in the second hour of the show, so it'll be a little easier for us to take guests than it was in the first hour of the program. So let me know what you think about that. Okay, it's time for the key three. What I believe to be are the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. And these are stories that kind of rise above the normal, you know, stories about a car accident or this lawmaker has this idea or that idea. So I'm going to start today with ICE in airports. CBS News reports that the Trump administration has now deployed ICE and other Homeland Security agents to 14 of the nation's airports yesterday. Minneapolis, though, not on the list. The goal is to help shuttle passengers through overcrowded TSA checkpoints. And in some airports, the security line wait time had been as much as 6 hours. The agents are filling in for TSA officers in some places due to the mass callouts during the partial government shutdown. It's keeping the officers from receiving their paychecks. ICE is funded in kind of a different mechanism than typical Homeland Security. Wait times, I did see, are now down to under 25 minutes in all U.S. airports besides Newark and Houston International. So that's not bad. I mean, if you're going to the airport any old time and it's 25 minutes to get through, that's not all that bad. So a credit to the TSA agents that are out there doing it as they always do and doing it well. And then I think credit too, if ICE agents can help people get through. I mean, I understand that you have to have, you know, expertise in the things that they do. There's no doubt about that. The people that are watching the bags go through the scanner, I mean, they're trained in looking for that. ICE agents wouldn't be able to do that. But the part where you're looking at the driver's license and checking the boarding pass, is that something that requires an extensive amount of training? I wouldn't think so. Certainly there's things to look for and things to not, but I would think that you could learn that in a morning's worth of seminars and help out, get the lines going through. A number of TSA agents that are there helping people, you know, get their bags through the checkout lines and telling them, hey, you know, take off your belt, your shoes or whatever. That can be taught without too much. So I kind of laugh at the people that say, oh, they have no idea what they're doing. They can't do that work. I don't want to take anything away from the TSA agents. And if you are a TSA agent, I know we have a few that listen to the program because I talk to you when I go through the airport, and there's more to it than I'm thinking there are, let me know, because I'd love to hear from you about that. 271-1100. But I think the president's trying to solve problems. And what I love about this president is that he doesn't look at things the way they've always been done. And he's not afraid to try something new. Government bureaucracy tends to sort of propagate itself. Well, we've only done this ever, and so I'm just uncomfortable doing something different. Donald Trump does not get uncomfortable doing something different. And in some cases, why not? And we've certainly seen this president does not mind going against the grain or doing what people don't expect. But for the most part, the things that he does work out very well. And, of course, there's people that you want to take shots at him along the way. But so far, so good on this whole thing there. The president, by the way, said that it is also a possibility that he might dispatch the National Guard to help airports and TSA agents. So we may see National Guard if that is helpful. So we see that. Story number two, a new study out from the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, so these are heart people, has found that sleeping for 11 minutes more each night can significantly reduce your risk of heart attack as much as 20% in some cases. If you sleep for 11 minutes more each night, do 4.5 minutes a day of brisk walking, and eat an extra 50 grams of vegetables each day, you could lower your risk of heart attack and stroke by 57%. All right, so that's all you got to do. 11 minutes more of sleep each night, 5 minutes of brisk walking, and eat a pile of vegetables. Little steps, right? I thought that was interesting. And then last one I'm going to put out, you're going to start hearing, if you haven't already, how climate change is rearing its ugly head in America. And those of us who live in our part of the world, we're looking around saying, we keep having these terrible winters. My gosh, I don't think we're going to boil to death. But they're saying that increased temperatures in the southwest part of the country, they've had some record high temps down that way, along with the Nebraska wildfires that we've seen that burn more than 500,000 acres, has climate scientists concerned about heat and low humidity and the upcoming wildfire season. They say that we are scared to death of what might happen, says one meteorologist for a company, a nonprofit called Watch Duty. Oh boy, a nonprofit called Watch Duty. Yeah, I guess he's going to be scared to death, right? But they are, I mean, they're accurate by saying it is uncommon to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres being burned at this time of year. So they're right about that. And apparently some of the country did not get a real substantial winter. I would say there's a lot of us that did. I asked somebody out in Buffalo what their winter's been like. I saw over the weekend they still have like a foot of snow on the ground out there. Even if we do have an increase in temperature, that can very well just be part of the Earth's natural, whatever you want to call it, evolution. And you cannot prove that we are having, just because there's a correlation between things, it might be warmer right now. But that, and there might be more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. We've talked about this a million times. There have been times in our world or Earth's history when our carbon dioxide levels were, I don't know what the exact number is, I'll just say 10 times higher than what they are now, and we're still here living after going through, you know, another colder cycle in the 1970s. So it's just, I'm not saying the climate's not changing or that it's not getting warmer. It may very well statistically be. The thing is, you cannot prove that it is happening because of any man-made activity. And until you can't tell people that they have to, you know, spend $50 trillion to demolish everything in your economy to start all over again, because it doesn't make any sense. It's not climate change or the changing climate that I think is fraud. It's the enterprise of climate change, where we're trying to amass resources to go to certain things and pick favorites in our energy sector rather than things that we know at least they work. We don't know solar, wind, we don't know that they work long term. We do know the coal, natural gas, and nuclear power works. So thanks for sending that in. But I had not seen that 97 in Vermilion. But, I mean, yeah, that's kind of down on the prairie a little bit. They do get warm, but 97's nuts. All right, before we get to Best Thing I Heard All Day, let's bring in Crystal to the conversation, and she joins us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good morning, Crystal. How are you?
Well, good morning. I'm sad that I'm not going to be able to be at Capstone on Friday, but I'm going to be one of the sponsors of the early bird reception up in Minot for the Republican convention, both as a delegate and as a sponsor. And it's going to be real interesting because we're going to have a straw poll. We'll probably about have 900 to 1,000 delegates from across the state. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of test the water, so to speak, because we've got about 12 names, a mixture of governors and senators, got the vice president, secretary of state, and kind of just see what the mood of the people from North Dakota are. And then we've got a speaker from Iowa, we got a speaker from Minnesota, and we have a person from the Republican National Committee that's also going to be there. I think that that person is there for the Saturday reception.
Okay, yeah, I think Royce White, the guy who is running for U.S.
Yeah.
Senator, is going to be there speaking too. Yeah, so are you, what are your kind of emotions going into that? Are you excited, nervous? I mean, there's been kind of a lot
excited.
Of unrest. Okay, so you're not nervous about... any of these kind of, you know, overtaking the process and that's maybe happened in some of the district areas?
Well, here's the thing. It's a place for discussion. And so we're just going to have meetings and see where we're all at and then see where we can agree on, find common ground.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole issue is beat the Democrats. Republicans in this state are smart. They're very organized. We got farmers, business people, retired people. And we'll just see what we can, you know, all put together. And it's the people, as you know, it's the people who decide. So
yep.
We're going to have our members of Congress, or, you know, in D.C. doing their work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not worried a bit. I mean, these are all my friends. I got friends all across the state, don't you know?
Yeah, well, I bet you do, Crystal. I bet you do. Are you disappointed that the governor is not going to be there, Secretary of State, Julie Fedorchuk? A lot of the kind of the big-name Republicans are not going to be there. Are you disappointed in that?
Well, one's got a wedding, and somebody else has got a family thing, and those things were committed way before we started looking at the state convention date. You know, a lot of these weddings get planned a year ahead, sometimes 2 years ahead, and you're just happy to have your niece or nephew. It's okay.
Okay, so you're not thinking it's a big statement that's being made. You're thinking it's just kind of the way things are working out.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I hope it goes well, and I hope that safe travels to everybody. That's a lot of people heading that way, and it's certainly important to get good, solid conservative minds together to discuss the important things. So safe travels,
well,
and you'll have to give me a little report card after it happens maybe early next week.
Yeah, your guy Ron DeSantis is on that straw poll, so I'll mark one down for you, because I know you like him. He's
okay, what are we voting on that for? He's for what now? Maybe like the next presidential nominee for
2028?
Okay.
Exactly. I got 14 names. For 2028, because you know doggone well, the day after election, November 2026, boom, we're stalking in 2028.
Right. Yep,
okay.
For sure. Okay, thanks
for the
Crystal.
Time.
Yeah, you bet. Safe travels. Yeah, boy, I'm excited about the 2028 primary process just because it's been rumored that Vance being the VP, you'd think that he'd be interested. Rubio, I'm sure Doug Burgum is going to be interested as well. DeSantis, maybe. I mean, look, I think he would do a good job. He just seems to struggle in campaigns. But, I mean, there's a number of people. Byron Donalds, I really like him, too. There's a lot of good people on that bench. So, yeah, I'm excited to see. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with out of that straw poll for the nomination for 2028. Okay, best thing I heard all day. So this one, I have to tell you, I'm having a little fun with this. A little mindless fun today. Which you got to do every once in a while, and best thing I heard all day. The legend of Jesse Waters grows. One timeless truth in broadcasting, it will never, and I mean never, go well when men talk about how attractive women are or are not. In any public setting, certainly on broadcast media. Jesse Waters almost got caught twice on this, but somehow rescued himself both times and somehow came out smelling like a rose.
I have to disagree with Dana. I didn't think Kamala was hot.
Oh, she was attractive.
I said she was beautiful. I'd say hot.
I don't know. I mean, she was okay. But, I mean, if we're talking hot, she's not hot.
Well, I didn't say hot. I said,
well, it's about hot people, okay?
AOC.
I'm not going to go
Gretchen
there.
And Gretchen Whitmer.
Being generous.
Do you ever see the politicians before television? It was like old fat guys with no hair, with like mutton chop sideburns.
Yes.
So TV is the thing. You gotta have a good looking person. And now I like the fact that Democrats have gone from like, we need like a transgender Native American amputee to just someone who's hot. And I feel like that's progress.
Want to give a special welcome to those of you listening today on AM 1090 KTGO out in the Bakken. Stanley, Tioga, Watford City, appreciate all of you being here with us here today as well. Get a text message every once in a while from Williston or an email from Minot. Down by Washburn, I know we've got listeners as well, so really thankful. That's great little signal out there in, not little signal, out in the Bakken that gets out of that KTGO tower. So really excited to have more of you. It seems like that audience is growing, and that's really a lot of fun for us. And so many businesses are now wanting to do their advertising with us on KTGO radio. And boy, for what you pay, what you get is amazing. So if you want to talk more about that, just shoot me an email, steve@flagfamily.com. I'll put you in touch with our sales manager and find out how to bring your brand to life. You know, we were talking with Brian Kronk about this, and when this war gets done, and I just don't think the president has an appetite to make this thing run for very long, and he may not get everything done that he wants to before he calls it off, but he's going to obviously get a lot done there before it's put to an end or transition into something different, a quieter kind of a wind down phase. But I think then you're going to see there's going to be a new Fed chair get into office, and he's going to push for lower interest rates, and that should hopefully move things that direction. So if we get oil prices going down, and think about it, if we're able to secure good oil production out of the Middle East, which might take a little bit, but if we're able to get that done along with what's happened in Venezuela, along with our domestic energy production, I've heard people say that we could have $40, $50 oil, which I don't know if that's all the best for North Dakota's economy, but it sure would lead to lower gas prices and a lot of confidence with consumers. And if we get some of those things start to line up, which the chances of those things happening are pretty good, Brian Kronk told you in the 9 o'clock hour, and I feel this way too, that it's going to be another sprint upward in stock prices, people wanting to borrow money, economic activity, and that could be very helpful for the president as we get into the second half of the year. So why am I telling you all this? Well, if you thought about doing some advertising for your business and you just haven't really ever got around to doing it, well, this is a great time to do it, because people that advertise when things are in the valley, they are the first companies that people choose when they have the money and they have the confidence to say, yep, it's go time now. You want to be on the top rung of the memory ladder, the way we say it in the sales world. And we've got great ways to do that for you on the Flag here in the Red River Valley, on the Flag out in the Bakken. We have a bunch of digital sales tools as well. If your website, you want your website to come up when people search, hey, who's the best plumber in town? You want your website to come up there if you're a plumber? We can do all that for you. And a lot of our clients now, our bigger ones, are doing a little bit of everything. And 1 + 1 = 3 in marketing. And so this is a great time to kind of renew your focus or renew your commitment on advertising. Every business needs to do it. And if you are not advertising regularly and getting the word out there about your company and what you do, you are losing ground to your competitors. There's no question about that. McDonald's, I heard this. I don't know why I'm talking about advertising here, but all these things keep coming to mind. Do you know that McDonald's spends $1.3 million a week in advertising? Yeah, I heard that at a Burrell conference. They're kind of market research people. $1.3 million McDonald's spends. Now, most of us aren't going to be able to spend that. But hey, none of us are confused about what they do at McDonald's, right? It's not like, okay, let's advertise here at McDonald's so people know what we do. They do it to keep their product top of mind. So when you get hungry, you're thinking about a cheeseburger because you saw the ad or heard about the ad on McDonald's. Well, that's kind of what we do as well. So would love to help you. Doesn't cost anything to get some answers and just get a sample plan like, okay, what would it look like? How much would it cost? What would I get? We do all that for you without making you buy anything. But we think you're going to like what you see. So send me a note, steve@flagfamily.com. steve@flagfamily.com if you would like to find out more. Okay, I want to play for you. Speaking of business and things kind of peeking up in a good direction. I've been telling you for the last few months that it's felt like ever since the tariffs, which is about a year ago, when President Trump went on the tariffs, and every financial a person on TV, with the exception of maybe a few on Fox Business, but the Bloomberg guys, the Reuters people, the CNBC people, all the websites, all the social media, it was gloom and doom. All the economists, tariffs are going to be inflationary, and it was going to bankrupt the country and all this and that happened. And I was listening to guys like Charles Payne and guys like Larry Kudlow and Stephen Moore. And those guys were saying, this is a really good time to buy because everybody's freaking out. And these so-called experts, they're telling you not to to buy, to sell. It's going to be, you know, really nerve-wracking here, and it's going to be a long haul. And within 2 months, we were at new highs. Within 2 months. And they were telling you this is going to impact things for a year, maybe two. And I get it. People who are thoughtful and think through things sometimes worry a little too much. I can be a little bit that way sometimes, but there are times when you have to just kind of say, you know what? When everybody is negative, but we have a stock market and an economy that has been kicking butt for 100 years, maybe it's best not to pay so much attention. And I heard a gentleman earlier today talk something like this as well. His name was Thomas Evans, and he is a trader with, or he's a partner and one of the lead partners at his investment firm. And I don't have his investment firm offhand, but I thought this was really good. He was on with Stuart Varney today. This is only about a minute, 25 seconds. If you want to make money in investing, he says, watch the pessimists and do the opposite. Now, this isn't me. This is somebody who's in the business saying when everybody is being scared about everything, that's the time when you need to do something different. Always stay positive. And this is how the conversation went with Stu Varney on Fox Business this morning.
The market rallied after Trump announced that five-day pause on energy attacks on the infrastructure in Iran. You've been buying up tech, haven't you?
Yeah.
And that implies that you think the bottom has already been reached.
Well, we've been buying tech. We've been buying consumer discretionary. What I've learned in this business, Stu, is the pessimist always sounds smart in the short term. The optimists wind up with all the money in the long term.
Do you think we could get a rip your face off rally if we settle the war?
There's no question about it. We saw record purchasing of put options last week, record short volume in the market. Everyone is offsides on this rally. What we found since 1939, 30 geopolitical events, they tend to bottom out 15 trading days into the event. That was Friday. And within weeks afterwards, they tend to resolve massively higher. 12 months later, on average, up 12.93% in the S&P.
To get that kind of rally,
yes,
you've got to have the strait open. You've got to have no more nuclear enrichment or uranium enrichment by the Iranians, and you've got to get the uranium they've already got out.
You need expectation of those things happening.
Really?
You don't need actually happen. As a matter of fact, the market tends to recover before the event, the fighting is over. So you need some move in that direction like we saw a taste of it yesterday. I think as we get through this weekend, there'll be a little volatility into Friday because no one knows. Sure. We've got a lot of Marines headed over. Who knows what could happen over the weekend. But I think next week,
if they're still talking, get the rally.
Yeah, you get the rally.
Okay. This guy is worth paying attention to. He had the data, right? What we found since 1939, 30 geopolitical events, they tend to bottom out 15 trading days into the event. So that's 3 weeks because you don't trade on the weekends. And he said that was Friday. And within weeks afterward, they tend to resolve massively higher. 12 months later, on average, up 12.93%. And when Stuart Varney said, yeah, but a lot of stuff has got to happen, he astutely says, no, it doesn't have to happen. You need the expectation of those things happening. Yes, the stock markets are a emotional roller coaster. If people feel good about where things are at, they will buy. If people feel bad about things, they will sell, even if the underlying fundamentals are really pretty good. If there's worry or concern, It hits stocks. It happens somewhat in oil and commodities, too, but it certainly happens very, very quickly. I mean, it can happen within 30 seconds in the stock market. So that guy was rock solid, and I just thought that was worth pointing out. Breaking news, I don't know what to think of this. I'm a Minnesota Gopher hockey fan. I grew up down there. I know a lot of you are UND hockey fans, and there's obviously a great rivalry, as there is with, you know, Minnesota Duluth, St. Cloud, whatever. The Gopher hockey team has hired a new head coach, and I am less than thrilled with this one. Brett Larson has been hired as the head coach at Minnesota. Now, this might be unfair to Mr. Larson. From all accounts, he is a great dude and a really knowledgeable hockey coach. And his first year, he led his team to 30 wins. They went deep into the playoffs, and you know, a guy that people around the game really seemed to like. They won the NCHC that year. But since then, that was 2018-2019. Since then, his teams have gone 13-15-6, 20-11. They were national runner-up that year, to be fair. But then in 21-22, 18-15-4. And 22-23, they had another pretty decent year. NCHC champs and made the NCAA tournament. They went 25-13-3. But in the last 3 years, 17-16-5, 14-21-1, and 16-19-1 this past season. They missed the NCAA tournament all three of those years. I'd like to be more excited than I am about this. It's not as though his star is rising right now, but maybe, right? I think sometimes we fire coaches too early. And I don't know with Bob Motzko, but they lost 22 games this past year, but St. Cloud State wasn't much better. It feels to me like they definitely settled on this one. We'll see. Hopefully he proves me wrong and goes out and gets the job done there.